Fantasy Edge with Jonathan Chan, Kevin Kuo, Richard Seville.
Yes, folks, it's the Fantasy Edge getting ever closer to week one of the NFL. Joining me shortly, Kevin Kuo and Jonathan Chan, of course, as usual, discussing preseason, the news, and who we're losing faith in and who we're gaining trust in as time goes on. Very interesting preseason so far, but I want to start off by welcoming Jono. Hi, Jono, how's you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. Richard, how you been?
Yeah, okay. No drafting yet, but I'm kind of glad because of all this news that's been going on. What about you, Kev? I know you've been doing some Razzball drafts. What's going on with that?
Yeah, it was good. Razzball is interesting. Best ball league, so did a couple different things strategy-wise than I normally would have done. But it was fun. I'm a big fan of slow drafts, even though I know you're not.
I could take them or leave them. I just don't like waiting and waiting and waiting for hours and hours. And I don't like keeping people waiting, so it goes both ways. But I don't mind best ball. It's a set it and forget it type thing. It's okay. Thing is, you kind of have to be in it for money to get interested, because otherwise, if you're not playing for money, then you're just not even going to look at your team.
Until the end of the season, yeah.
Until the end of the season, yeah, you know. So that's the thing. So that's, and where I live, I can't. I've got $70 in my draft count, and I can't use it. Maybe you can help me.
Sure.
Anyways, well, they're coming to get you, Kev. Who's got the sirens going? I don't know.
I can hear it through my headphones. I don't think that's me.
Ah,
that's
must me, be Joe. Yeah. Typical life in California. Okay. Yeah, today we're going to be talking about a little bit about the news. We'll start off with the situation with which everybody's talking about. It's totally crazy with Antonio Brown. I can't wait for Hard Knocks. Actually, it comes out today, doesn't it? So I'll start with you, Jono. What's your take on Antonio Brown and the antics and the feet and all?
I mean, at this point, I'm debating if he's legitimately crazy or he's just doing it for, you know, PR and for some hard knocks exposure, but man, it's been fun to watch.
Yeah. Kev, what you got any takes on this Antonio Brown? And are you drafting him in the third round?
Drafting him is, I don't know. I'm glad my drafts mostly won't happen for a couple weeks or so, so maybe we can see how this all susses out. Hopefully on Hard Knocks. If they don't show this on Hard Knocks, if they just kind of pretend this doesn't happen, I'm boycotting. But
I am too.
I don't know. I think, yeah, I don't know, man. It's such a weird situation. Like, we all know he's kind of that kind of guy. Like, he went on, what was that, The Masked Singer or something like that. So, like, he's definitely someone who chases fame. I think he was on Dancing with the Stars, too. Am I wrong about that?
I mean,
to be on someone who's been on both of those shows kind of just seems to me like he wants to be really, really famous. And obviously Hard Knocks is a good way to promote that. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's 50-50. He's being kind of a diva and trying to attract attention to himself. And the other thing is, excuse me, I'm starting to think there's actually real problems with his feet, and which is why he's just kind of making a bigger deal out of other stuff.
Well, you saw the picture, right?
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
That looks good.
And I don't know how he, you know, I guess you want to wear a certain amount of protection in those cryogenic tanks, whatever it is. I always forget that name about what it is. But, you know, the thing that kind of bothers me about Brown now is that there's a stigma attached, and you just don't know what's going to happen if something gets on him. Because you know how he was like last year with his tweets and things? He'd annoy a lot of people and like fellow players and stuff. So I just don't know what's going on with Antonio Brown. A lot of people say that it's the CTE and the helmet thing. He's actually, he's put out a tweet that if anybody has this certain helmet, I think it's the shoot advantage helmet or something like that. Forget the name of it. But anyways, he's put it out on Twitter. If anybody's got his favorite helmet, he'll send a signed Raiders helmet. As if that would go down, I doubt it. But I don't know. He's still determined to get that helmet.
He got denied, didn't he? He's not going to be able to do it.
He's not going to be able to do it, but he still can get the helmet if he can. It's kind of rare because they stopped making them almost 10 years ago, but not quite. They still continue them for about a year, but there's none of them around. So he's asking the public if anybody's got that certain helmet from 2010 or later. But it can't be later because they stopped making them. So, but he can't have a helmet that's older than 10 years. So we can't have anyone, he can't have a helmet from 2009. It's hard to believe, you know. It seems like yesterday when I think of 2009, who won the Super Bowl? I think it was the Saints or somebody. Anyway, but that was the last time the Saints won the Super Bowl. But yeah, time flies when you're having helmets. So, I made a little joke on Twitter today that, you might see, Antonio Brown on Pawn Stars. trying to get the helmet. Anyways, other bad boys. Ezekiel Elliott continues this. John, what do you think? Do you think this ends? I'm starting to lean that I think it will.
It probably ends. I think I read that Zeke, if he doesn't play, then a year of his contract doesn't actually burn off. So sitting for him doesn't make a difference. Him sitting just wastes a year of his own career and it doesn't get him anywhere. So yeah, he'll probably play. He knows that he needs to play to earn, I guess, trust back in the Cowboys and other organizations that who he may want to get paid from. So I think he'll play, and I think it's all just a lot of talk right now.
Kev, thoughts on Zeke?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, it's just he's holding out with 2 years left on his contract, which is, number one, unprecedented, but number two, I don't think makes any actual sense. So it might just be a situation where he doesn't want to go to training camp. It could just be that simple. Could also be, you know, I just don't really see the Cowboys paying him, especially, like, before they have to, especially since, you know, they have to pay Dak $40 million a year. So... Is it something to say, Jonathan?
Uh-huh. No. I'm sure somebody will find me if I say that Dak does not deserve anywhere near that kind of money.
No, he does not. But let me finish off the Zeke story. Yeah, you mentioned that he doesn't lose a season. As a matter of fact, on the 8th of August, if he didn't show up on that date, that means he doesn't count for the accrued season. So all that means, it doesn't mean really a whole lot, but it just forwards the problem into next season. So next season, he has to do something. He has to show up and do everything if he wants to get free agency. Because then he's only got 3 seasons counting for free agency. But since the Cowboys took the 5th-year option, that means he can still get his 4th year next year anyway. So it doesn't matter. The only difference is that next year, you could get into a franchise bag tag problem, and that's where it would really annoy Zeke, if because that's what Zeke's kind of opened himself up to, is that he can be franchise tagged and he won't have as much leeway. But we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, you can go on with Dak. Yeah, he wants the big bucks, doesn't he, Jono?
I mean, yeah, every player wants the big bucks, but what have you done to even ask anywhere in the range of $40 million? It makes no sense. And to reject $30 million, that's kind of insulting, honestly. It doesn't make any sense for a player that's, you know, pushing league average as a quarterback.
Yeah, I know. And you look at what Aaron Rodgers has put up with. Aaron Rodgers, you know, went underpaid for so long. But he didn't. He came to practice and play. He just loves football. He loves the game. He doesn't, you know, maybe his agent should have pushed pushed him a little bit more. But I guess Aaron Rodgers said, no, I'll just go with it. I've got enough money. Kev, Dak, does he deserve the cash?
I mean, you deserve whatever you can negotiate, right? So
they're smart.
Negotiate it, then yeah, he deserves it. If he can't, you know, if this ends up in him playing for another team in 2020, then, you know, as long as he gets paid, like, I'm all for it. I'm all for, you know, player empowerment, especially for Dak, who was he undrafted or just a late round guy?
I think he's like a second or third rounder.
I want to say lower than that. Maybe like a fourth round sounds about right. But anyways, I know he's not making any kind of good money right now. So for him to kind of hold out, knowing, you know, the going rate for quarterbacks is what it is. Like, we don't really see quarterbacks hit free agency because nobody really pushes the envelope like Dak is. The only one has Kirk Cousins, and he just took the franchise tag like, what, 2 years in a row until he got cashed out in free agency. So if I'm Dak, like, that's not a terrible way for me to go if, you know, the Cowboys don't acquiesce. Like, I mean, there's rumors that he didn't actually ask for 40. That seems more reasonable to me. Asking for 40 seems insane, but you know, to me, it's just like, you know, if it works out, I mean, it's not really going to matter until we find out what happens, right? Like, if he ends up getting the 40, then he's a genius. If he doesn't, then he...
This kind of brings up all of the case of Brady as well. He got a brand new contract. Well, not an extended contract. They've extended him a couple more years, which I think we sort of talked about this last time, is that Brady's going to, you know, just be with the Patriots until he gets benched. Just the way it looks, doesn't it?
He's not going to willingly retire, it looks like, at this point. He's either going to go until his arm falls off, or he gets hit and can no longer physically play. He's said before he wants to go till 45. This contract would take him to 45 years old. So I guess we'll have to wait three more seasons and really find out.
Well, actually, I think we'll find out a lot this season about whether he's good to go for next season, because a lot of people have put him in the bust column. Oh, is that where he is for you, Kev, this year?
He's not in the bust column because I actually have him ranked as like quarterback 20 something. So don't really think he can be a bust when I just don't think he has a lot of fantasy value. Like, in a winner takes all, Bill Simmons type alien game situation, I'll probably take Brady. But, over a course of a fantasy season, we saw how run heavy the Patriots were last year. That combined with the fact that over the last couple of years, he hasn't been, very good in fantasy without Gronk. Brady's not really a quarterback that I particularly care to draft.
But he's still got Edelman.
Cool. I mean, Edelman is cool. Like, what is he going to throw for, like, 220 yards?
He's got some new weapons. And there's always who might come to the team.
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas.
Thomas.
He would be sick in 2012.
Honestly.
Demaryius, Josh Gordon, Edelman. What's his name?
12-year-old N'Keal Harry.
Dorsett was probably like sophomore year at Miami, killing people.
Yeah. Oh God, Dorsett.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't see the upside. If you look at Brady's stats, like just look at Brady's stats last year. I'll pull them right now. They're not impressive at all.
No, they're not. I wouldn't draft him this year, especially without knowing how he plays without Gronk. Like in a, I guess the revamped offense, I wouldn't risk it.
No, and there's really no replacement. I mean, like, a lot of people, myself included, picking up Matt Lacoste, who's the tight end replacement, which is actually, he's actually standing in for Ben Watson until he gets back. Yeah. So, N'Keal Harry, you talked about N'Keal Harry. Apparently he's not having a good camp and he's missing practices. But there's Jacoby Myers, he's kind of an interesting player. What do you think of him, Jono?
Not somebody I would consider fantasy relevant, or not worth drafting anyways. We gotta wait and see. Camp means nothing to me, honestly. Camp is just wasting time to see who gets injured.
Good point. Kev, have you checked in on Jacoby?
No. Yeah, no. All I know is that his initial camp number was 69. It's literally the only
thing. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we haven't talked about the elephant in the room, and that's Melvin Gordon, and a lot of people, of course, have drafted him in our... We've talked about the Scott Fishbowl and people who draft really early or got, you know, already wasted a first-round pick. I really don't see an ending to this. It's miles different from the Ezekiel Elliott situation. I haven't heard any news. In fact, I could just click on some news of Melvin Gordon, see if anything... The latest is, it's just... Melvin Gordon continues holdout, and that's all there is to it. I think, Kev, is that just the way we're going to have to accept it? Because we're already in preseason two, so, and I haven't heard any progress.
Yeah, at this point, if he's not in camp, but you just got, you've got to stay away with him, especially in the first round or so, like second round even. You probably won't find me taking Melvin Gordon. I'll probably be reading on Eckler and Justin Jackson, even in deeper leagues. Mm-hmm. These holdout situations are kind of ugly. Like we said with the Zeke one, I ran a poll like 2 days ago, and it was, who do you think will play the most games in 2020? And it was Gordon, Antonio Brown, Zeke, and Josh Gordon, just for fun. Mm-hmm. And Zeke came in away with like 55% of the votes, which is telling. But then the other telling thing was that Josh Gordon had zero votes. Sorry, Jonathan. And then Melvin Gordon had like only two or three votes. So I think there's real
pessimism. Did I not vote for Josh Gordon in this? I saw this poll. I'm almost sure I voted for Josh Gordon in this poll.
I'm not surprised.
Well, I mean,
Twitter. Okay, so, yeah.
Can't take Twitter seriously.
Melvin Gordon had 4% of the vote, which is like not good at all. So I think there's extreme pessimism about Melvin Gordon playing. I think part of that is because he's in the last year of his contract and, you know, he can actually do the Le'Veon Bell thing and hold out, even though it's not necessarily beneficial. So I don't know. It's weird.
Well, there still has been some preseason games going on. Did you guys watch any preseason games? I watched all the games. I hold my hand up. It was a rainy weekend last weekend. It rained all weekend, so I was stuck in anyway. So I thought, well, I might as well watch some football. I mean, on Game Pass, you can watch it in 40 minutes. You can watch the game, and if there's anything really interesting, and if you want to get the full story, you can always watch the long version, or go back and look at it. But some interesting things I saw there. John, did you catch any of the preseason?
Unfortunately, no. I haven't had a chance to watch anything. I've been so busy with all my assignments in school and stuff. It's just
yes, but you've been reading.
I'm reading what I can.
Yeah.
But I haven't had a chance to actually sit down and watch.
You need those eye tests, man.
I need advanced stats. Advanced stats. It's like baseball. Give me the advanced stats.
It doesn't work like that. Not in football.
Pure numbers game.
Pure numbers game. I just cannot hug stats. I just cannot. I can hug. I hug stats when the season is going. And then you got something that's going. Because by the time week one comes, anything that happened in 2018 is totally out the window. We see it every year. Week one comes. Oh, gee, didn't see that coming. Oh, gee, didn't see that coming. And then maybe out of all that, out of one out of five of them, oh, we saw that coming. So like you got about like maybe 10 to 25% of what happened in 2018, the previous or previous year, seems to pan out. I don't know, Kev. What about you? Have you watched any games or caught any?
No, I mean preseason week one. That's not really too exciting. I kind of just watch the highlights, and I'm more interested in stuff like the snap counts or who's getting pulled early, who's getting babied, who's not suiting up, that kind of stuff.
Well, that is important. Yeah. And you can go pretty far by those kind of stats. I'll give you that. When it comes to snap counts and who's on the field, who's starting especially. And so those kind of things are kind of important. So, but there's a few players that I'm keeping my eyes on. It's one of those is Jazz Ferguson of the Seahawks. Looked really good, but he's just fighting for a roster spot right at the moment. But even Carroll says to, you know, don't get too excited about this guy. Few other guys, Trent Sherfield of Arizona had a good game. He looked really good. Wide receiver there. I also mentioned Hurd. His name is Jalen Hurd and Deebo Samuel. Both of them had fantastic. They look better than the starters. You would kind of surprise me. And also, and you would be interested in this, Kevin, is Miles Boykin of Baltimore. Really impressed me. I'm keeping my eyes on that guy.
Yeah,
isn't that the dude that like flopped out of Green Bay?
No, that's Brandon Boykin, I think.
Okay, yeah. I hear Boykin. I was like, all right. Yeah.
Miles Boykin is like a rookie third round pick out of Notre Dame, and he is huge.
6'4", 220.
Jeez. Yeah, he's fast too.
94th percentile spark.
All right, interesting.
That's pretty good. And not only that, he passes the eye test, in my opinion. I watched him play. I thought this guy looks right. He looks the part. You know, you can sort of tell guys that sort of look the part. I mean, I just kind of saw that with, you know, how we see Curtis Samuel finally breaking out, and now everybody's clamoring for Curtis Samuel now. I mean, I could sort of see that at the beginning, but for some reason it didn't. His rookie season, I guess rookies just don't develop that way, but you could sort of see that coming. So maybe he is sort of a work in progress. So if you're in dynasty leagues, he's obviously gone, isn't he, Kev?
I mean, he should be.
He should be.
Second round pick out of Ohio State, he should be gone.
Yeah. There's this other guy, Andy Isabella of Arizona as well, who,
UMass.
Yeah, he's nothing too fantastic, but, I also liked, Jake Kumerow really looks the part for the Green Bay Packers. He really looks like that a slot guy, and I can tell that the problem for him is that he's playing behind Equanimeous St. Brown, Scantling, Valdez Scantling, and Geronimo Allison. So he's got a lot of if he wants to get up the depth chart, he's really, you know, so he's kind of buried at the moment, but he looked pretty good. He only two catches, but and they weren't from Aaron Rodgers either, but you kind of could tell the guy was always in the right spot at the right time. And one other guy that impressed me, and I got to get your opinion on this guy, really impressed me. Only in for one season, and then they put him back in the, or pardon me, one series, and they put him back in the bubble wrap, and that's Daniel Jones, quarterback of the Giants. Jono, Daniel Jones, thoughts?
I mean, it was an impressive performance. I saw the highlights on YouTube. Thanks for putting those up, whoever did that. He looked really good. It was a nice throw for the touchdown. I mean, he gets a lot of flack for being drafted so high, but people got to keep in mind that he played through college with no NFL talent on his team. So I guess maybe the Giants saw something. I'm not going to say that, you know, they're completely vindicated, but maybe they saw something that nobody else wanted to see because he played for not a good team in college.
I mean, but he just embarrassed Eli Manning. He was throwing, like, he went 5 for 5, 54 yards, and threw the touchdown. And it looked effortless. You know how some guys just, you know how rookies, they sort of like, they have that sort of jitter to them, but he was just like making his throws as though it was like, okay, this is what I've told to do. Guys right there. And he threads. You don't see rookies like threading the needle sort of, you know, they don't find the receivers like that. He looked very, kind of stunned me actually. Because you don't see, I mean, well, you know how Baker Mayfield was. Baker Mayfield even looked a little bit kind of reckless in his rookie debut.
But he won.
Yeah, I know. But he looked a little reckless. But I mean, that's the kind of way. But Daniel Jones looked pretty smooth. Kevin, what's your thoughts on Daniel Jones?
I mean, is it too early to induct him into the Hall of Fame?
I put up that. Somebody already made a bust for him.
I mean, you gave Lamar Jackson Super Bowl ring, so no, it's not too early.
I mean, I was being modest, only giving him one, and I plans to hand him many more over the next year.
In 3 years. After 3 years, he can have all the chances he wants.
By then, you'll have Brian Hoyer playing quarterback, you guys.
But are we putting Hoyer and Josh Gordon back together again? Because that's another 2,000-yard season.
Another 2,000.
I'm extrapolating the other four games.
Yeah, Hoyer will throw 2,000 before he gets benched.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, Kevin, preseason, Nathan Peterman played the second half in Oakland and he looked good.
Oh, I can't wait to see it on Hard Knocks.
He actually threw a touchdown pass. So he didn't look, when you play it in the second half of, well, give him this. He looked better than Glennon. So
that's fair. But the thing with Peterman, he just has all time, you know, poop in your pants potential. Like, I've never seen someone crap the bed like he did. And that's what I'm here for. Like, if he does like decent stuff, even if he does like low key bad stuff, like, oh, he just missed a pass. Like, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here for him, you know, multi interception games, back to back drives with interceptions, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, you got to admit that the Bills just threw him in there cold.
Yeah, and a lot of it's not his fault. I've been saying that. A lot of it's not his fault. I'm not even necessarily, you know, against him. I don't know enough about quarterbacking to say he's a bad quarterback. I just know that when he goes out there, bad things happen, and that's hilarious.
Yeah, well, he did have a bad run, but he looked pretty good. But of course, then again, you know, you're playing against, you know, third string defense, and so you got to take that into account too. But mind, of course, you've got a third string offense, so it all evens out. But you didn't give me your take on Daniel Jones, though. Are you avoiding the issue?
Am I avoiding the? I mean, I just don't care. Like, why do I care? Like,
why do you care? Why do you not care? There's a fantasy quarterback at stake. That could have value.
I don't think so. You think that they're going to hand him the job just because he had a good preseason?
No. This is what I think. I think you're going to stream him by week 5.
But I think Eli will keep his job. Like, why do I think that Eli is going to lose his job because Daniel Jones went 5 for 5 for 54 yards in a preseason?
Put it this way. I'm glad we're at preseason 2 so that we can see more.
Sure, but I mean, I still don't think, like, I put it this way, like, Eli would have to absolutely implode, which of course is really possible.
Very possible.
Like, he would have to absolutely implode for the Giants to even think about putting Daniel Jones because they're not going to hand him the job right off the bat. They're going to give Eli every single possible opportunity to fail.
Yes, they will. They will. Well, any predictions of when we see Daniel Jones, if we see Daniel Jones make, he's going to get starts. So when do you think he gets his start? How far in?
If I had to guess based on Eli implosion and how much the Giants seem to love him, I'd say probably week 12. Something really late for no reason.
Really late. Kind of like a Mahomes thing, huh?
Well, no, the thing is that, you know, Eli is still, you know, he still garners that kind of respect in the Giants organization. Gettleman still talks about him. Mara still talks about him like that. So, knowing that if they move on, it's kind of like the Flacco thing.
Well, it's like, no, it's not kind of like the Flacco thing because they tossed Flacco to the bench as quick as they could almost. Well, it wasn't week 12.
It was nine games into the season.
Was it nine? Okay.
Yeah. So nine games into the season. It was like they wanted to give him as many opportunities as they could because they knew if they benched him, they can't bring him back, right? So it's kind of the same thing. If they bench Eli, it's over for Eli. He won't be a Giant the year after. So they're going to give him every single chance he possibly can.
What do you think about Eli, Jono? You think it's week 12?
I mean, it probably should be earlier, but like Kevin said, they're going to give him every chance.
One. It should be week one.
I wouldn't put Daniel Jones in there week one. Even if I have, I would put anybody in there just so you don't ruin Daniel Jones. Like, give the kid some time to acclimate. Like, the Giants, you're not going to do anything with Daniel Jones starting anyways. Let the man learn. Don't kill him because the Giants offensive line is still bad.
No.
Protect your investment, man.
Get him out there. 20 dump offs a game to Saquon Barkley. What's wrong with that? That's a real offense.
Let Peterman do that. Like, trade for Peterman. Let him do that.
Peterman can't see defensive ends.
Oh, God.
He can't throw 20 dump offs a game. That's three picks.
He can't see defense.
Okay, go find Joe Webb off the street.
Peterman can't even see defensive backs. So
Joe Webb's actually on a roster.
Yeah, he was playing, he got preseason snaps.
That's right. Yeah, he did. He did.
For the Texans.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, he did. That's why I'm thinking. That's why I thought of his name first. Aww.
Yeah, he's playing for the Texans. Show some respect.
Other guys making
veteran Joe Webb now.
Other guys making some noise. Other guys making some noise in preseason is I'll get to Haskins in a minute, but I wanted to talk a little positive and a little bright spot. This a nugget is out there for everyone to take, and I believe it is a guy by the name of Darwin Thompson. I think there's a nugget out there, folks. I think there's a nugget. I got my eye on this fella. Any thoughts on Darwin Thompson, Kev or Jono? Whichever wants to jump in first.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had my eye on him throughout the whole Scott Fish process because, you know, at that point, you're just looking for dart throws.
Yeah.
And I think one of the best situations to look for is a not proven incumbent running back with no other talent behind him.
Perfect.
That's why I was looking at, you know, Damian Williams is a situation. Lamar Miller was a situation. Anyone else off the top of my head, I can't really think of. But those are the kind of situations where you're looking at where, you know, people say like, oh, no, that position is locked down. But, you know, you started to see the doubts creeping in about Damian Williams this season already. And, you know, you get Darwin Thompson for free wherever you want to draft him. So
exactly.
Yeah. So you might as well take that dart throw there. If he, you know, carves out a role for himself, it could always end up in a bigger role.
The only problem is Carlos Hyde. Jono,
I don't get the Carlos Hyde thing at all. I don't think he's good. I think he was literally traded for, what was he traded for?
The Browns traded him to
the Jaguars picks, or something like that. And he promptly played like three games for them. Like, I don't think Carlos Hyde, like, I don't know. It just didn't really seem to make sense to me that.
No, I don't think so. But, Jono, I just want to ask you about Damian Williams. The way I see it, and do you see it this way as well? Are people drafting Damian Williams not for Damian Williams, but for the situation?
I mean, it's one and the same, right? Because it was Damian Williams last year that was incredible through the last, you know, 4 weeks of the season and the playoffs.
Very true.
People have seen what he can do in that system, whether it's him or the system. They know that he can produce. And what it comes down to now is, can his body hold up over a full season as a starter? That's why there's a bunch of Hyde stuff going around, because Hyde might be the goal line back. And now people are jumping on Darwin Thompson because it's fun to hate Carlos Hyde. So
It's not just that. Well, yeah, it is fun to hit. But you can't. The problem with Carlos Hyde is that he's in that sweet spot, because the only reason I would draft Carlos Hyde, not for Carlos Hyde, but for the situation. He's got a good offense that he's running in, good offensive line, opens up holes, you know. And we've seen this with the Cowboys a number of times. They've always had a solid offensive line and a half decent running back can thrive in it. You know, you remember Randall? I mean, Randall looked good. I mean, he's a terrible player, really. And yet he could, you know. So that's kind of the same way as I feel about, I mean, Damian Williams. Damian Williams, of course, got a different attitude, but he's a little bit dinged up. But I just feel like it's just the situation. You're drafting him for the offensive line or for the offense scheme. I don't know if their offensive line is any better than anybody else, but they've got a good scheme that really works that Andy Reid put together. It works for running backs, or so it looks like. It's kind of what makes me wonder about how Kareem Hunt will, but that's another story for another time. So is there anybody else that I've missed that we should be talking about? I think I have. Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about Haskins. Oh,
did we really have to?
That was brutal. Brutal, brutal. You know, especially after seeing what Daniel Jones did. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Well, and a lot of it was that there's something wrong with the Redskins. I mean, I wouldn't want to be a quarterback on the Redskins, even if I don't even think Aaron Rodgers would want to be. The pocket collapsing, you know, like all around him, it's like pocket collapsing, pocket collapsing, pocket collapsing. He has to get out of there. Has to throw it out of bounds, throw it, you know, hit and hope. Ends up throwing interceptions because he's just desperate to get anything. It's just, the Redskins are a total mess. Kev?
Yeah, I mean, what more is there to say? The offensive line is bad, hopefully. I think they only ran out like three of their normal starters, so I'm not counting Trent Williams. So I think there's room for improvement there. I think the two interceptions were really bad, but other than that, from what I'm reading from, you know, the little bit I saw, he seemed to be okay other than those two picks. But yeah, it's not really a fantastic offense to really get behind in fantasy, especially because the offensive line is pretty dreadful. So yeah, I don't know. It's preseason week one, so I'm not going to make sweeping proclamations like Joe did that Dwayne Haskins sucks. But,
Joe's always down on the Redskins. He's totally had it with Snyder and the whole works. So he just wants Snyder to sell the team, and then he'll be happy. But I don't know. The Redskins are just ugh. Well, in fact, I think the highest player I don't think there's a Washington. If I look at my overall cheat sheet, the first Redskin, I think it'd probably be Geis. Probably be Geis, and that is like way, way, way down. I mean, there isn't a. I mean, somebody's got to catch balls. I mean, maybe Jordan Reed, perhaps. There's this other guy, Trey Quinn, I believe his name. But nobody wants Dotson.
Name I'm hearing a lot is Terry McLaughlin.
Yeah, he's a guy. But he's got to get the ball to him. I mean.
Is it McLaughlin? No, it's McLaurin.
McLaurin. Yeah. But I mean, you got Case Keenum as quarterback, and you got a collapsing pocket every second down, you know. So the running game can't open up a passing game. So you're gonna get three and out, and it's just I just don't know. Jono, Redskins.
It's not a situation I would touch. Even with Geis, we have no idea what kind of workload he's gonna be getting.
No.
Coming off the ACL tear. Peterson's still there. They signed him to a new contract, and we just have no idea what they're going to do there. Obviously, Geis is the best talent, but who knows?
Yeah, the Redskins are the one. There's always a write-off team. Every season, there's one team that you have to write off for fantasy, and unfortunately, it's the Redskins. I mean, they could surprise. I mean, I don't want to throw everybody out. Maybe Jordan Reed. Somebody has to catch the ball. So Jordan Reed is about the only one. Even him, he's always on workers' compensation, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
And he is. It's constant. I hate that risk. So, Kev, are you going to draft any Redskins?
I'm going to draft Jordan Reed.
Oh, well.
That's okay. It. Yeah.
He's the only
I'm
one.
I'm a big fan of Jordan Reed this year.
Oh, you are?
Whether it's Case Keenum, whether it's Dwayne Haskins. Yeah, I mean, Jordan Reed is productive when he's healthy. By all accounts, he's healthy. And no one else is going to catch balls on that offense.
That's right. There isn't. There's nobody. Okay, if I missed anybody.
I mean, that being said, he's not going to be like my tight end one, but you can get him at tight end 17.
All right. So I've given my watch list for preseason week two. What about you? Anybody else have their eyeballs on anybody? Or it doesn't have to be a rookie or anybody. Any of your thoughts like of players that have come through to your notice?
Yes. I'll start. One that I really like is Rashad Higgins. The Browns.
Yes.
I think he's early favorite for that wide receiver 3 role now that Callaway is hurt or not hurt, suspended. He showed out in preseason week one, whoopee-doo, but, I think there is a role in that offense, which is going to be explosive. You know, the question, of course, is how many touches is he really going to get? How many looks is he going to get? But, you know, you never know. And, he's pretty talented. I liked him last year. But that never really materialized. So this offseason, Higgins is a guy I'm looking at. Another guy, obviously, you have to look at Tony Pollard just because you never really know what's going to happen to Zeke. What did Jerry Jones say? He said, like, I think he can handle the load or whatever, like Fish or whatever. I think kind of like the Damian Williams thing, you just kind of have to look at the situation there and try to grab a piece of it at a really cheap price. So that sounds like Pollard to me.
Yeah, they didn't. I just wanted to mention that the Cowboys were very careful with Pollard, which kind of tells me that they don't know what's going on with Zeke. So they didn't give Pollard a whole lot of work in their preseason game. So that kind of told me something there that they're sort of like hedging their bets.
Yeah, they babied him. So
yeah,
and those are the kind of things that you can see. And I think that is actually a good sign. I don't know if it tells you that Zeke is actually going to miss games or if it just tells you that they actually think Pollard is going to have a role no matter what, to be honest.
Well, no, but I it also could tell you that they're hedging their bets, you know. Johnny, you got anybody you got your eye on?
I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be like a sleeper or a surprising pick by any means, but I'm loving Anthony Miller this year. I'm trying to watch to see because I know he's been injury prone-ish throughout his career. Mm-hmm. And I want to see how he plays in camp and preseason, see if he's actually healthy. Keep in mind, last year, according to him, he separated or dislocated his shoulder 5 or 6 times and still scored 7 touchdowns. So if he's healthy, we're looking at double-digit touchdowns at a pretty good price.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that sort of flies under the radar, isn't he? And, you know, kind of like Calvin Ridley in a way. You know, one of those guys that just, you know, that you really would like to draft, but he sort of like one of those guys, isn't he? I like that. It's a good guy to keep an eye on as well. Oh, I did miss one guy that did catch my notice on Denver, and that's Noah Fant. They're throwing to him a lot. They're giving him work like unbelievable. Like in the Hall of Fame game, they were working him. They are working this guy. They want him in this offense. And there, even though Joe Flacco didn't play, I know that's, I hate to sort of like put Joe Flacco in the slot, and everyone says Joe Flacco likes his tight ends. You know, I hate to sort of like slot Joe Flacco in, but he does. I mean, he likes his tight ends, and I guess it only stands to reason that they want to get Noah Fant lots of work to work him in. Like, this is going to be the guy, and that's it. So if you've drafted early and you've drafted Noah Fant in your league, I think you picked a good sleeper. What do you say about Noah Fant? Anybody? Who do I go to? I go to Kev.
Resident Joe Flacco expert here. I mean, he loves his tight ends, but he doesn't make his tight ends fantasy relevant. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think the Ravens have a fantasy relevant tight ends. And Dennis Pitta?
Dennis Pitta's the guy.
Something like that. I guess Ben Watson was pretty good 2 years ago, but I don't know. I tend to stay away from rookie tight ends. That's kind of just...
Yeah.
I'm sure if you want to do the research on that, you can do a quick Google search. You'll find some kind of article that says rookie tight end think. That's almost accepted as fact, basically. So that combined with the fact that Fant is, you know, projected as kind of a project player.
Right.
I'm excited for him in Dynasty this year. I don't know.
All right. So that pretty much covers our topic of guys we're keeping our eyes on in preseason and who we're watching for. I'm just going to throw out some names here. And I want you to tell me, take as long as you want, of whether you're buying or staying away. We're talking, okay, I want to get your thoughts on Devonta Freeman. Kev, high or low on him?
Low. I tend to stay away from older veteran running backs coming back from injury. So, even though I'm really high on that offense, I'd rather get a cheaper buy-in, someone like Ido Smith, maybe Kadri Allison, maybe even Brian Hill. Those are like super deep leagues. Devontae Freeman, I don't think I've ended up with him in a mock draft.
Any change of mind for you, Jono, on Todd Gurley?
Todd Gurley, no. Same kind of thing Kevin said. Gurley is younger than Freeman, but at the same time, he's still coming off an injury that still hasn't been quite described in detail to anybody. We really don't know what Gurley's feeling, the kind of reps he's going to get, and he's still going late first, early second. It's a massive risk.
Kev, Brandon Cooks or Robert Woods, which one do you take?
I'll take Cooks. I think Cooks is one of the more underrated receivers in fantasy. I think if you look at his career, I think he's one of the only players to total over 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns in each of his last 4 seasons. So, I mean, you pretty much know what you're getting from him. And I don't know. I think he's just incredibly consistent, and I get that he maybe doesn't really have the upside. That some of the other players around there do, but he's being drafted as, I want to say he's being drafted wide receiver 16 behind like Edelman, Diggs, Amari Cooper, which, you know, it sounds about right, but sometimes I see him go lower than guys like Kenny Golladay, and sometimes I see him being drafted last out of the Rams receivers, and that kind of seems a little wrong to me.
John, there's been a lot of mild hype, but a little bit of hype, and a lot of people are making some noise about Chris Godwin. Are you buying?
Yeah, I mean, he's not going super high. He's not going in a place where I'm opposed to taking him. He showed a lot last year, a little inconsistent because of the inconsistency of Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick jumping back and forth, but there was nothing that I saw of Godwin that I'm totally against. And if he plays like he did, you know, when he's on, then he's a good pick.
So he's not a reach, because that's what...
No, I wouldn't say so. The Bucs offense is going to have to throw a lot, and they still don't have a reputable running game. So I think there's enough targets for both him and Evans in that offense.
Mm. Speaking of reaches, Kev, Tyler Boyd, are you reaching?
I wouldn't say reaching. I think people are kind of looking at his splits with and without AJ Green and kind of looking at that and say, oh, wow, he's really not that great. But a lot of things went wrong with the Bengals last year, and half those games where he was bad, he was playing with Jeff Driscoll. And, you know, even with all that going on, he still put up a career year at 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. We already know AJ Green's probably going to miss a game or two. I mean, the only concern is that, you know, that offensive line stinks. Therefore, Andy Dalton will probably not be good. But I kind of like Boyd where he's going. Seems like a pretty good value around, you know, wide receiver 23 to 4.
Right. Jono, my highest ranked rookie running back is David Montgomery of the Bears. Rookie running backs can explode. Can David Montgomery do it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Montgomery, based on the Pro Football Focus, I guess, broken tackles, their college numbers, David Montgomery is the only person to break 100 tackles in, you know, consecutive seasons, like ever, to do that. And that's insane to me. But coming to an offense where they don't have an early down back anymore, can't convince me Mike Davis is gonna take that many touches from him. We know what Tariq Cohen is. We know he's the passing back. We know that he cannot handle being between the tackles. And there is a role there to fill for Montgomery. All he has to do is be better than Jordan Howard. That's it. All he has to do is be, you know, better than 3.6 yards a carry or whatever Howard got last year and just do that. I think Montgomery, he's got the power and he's got more, I guess, agility and shiftiness than Howard does to get those extra yards. And he'll carve out his role as the early down and goal line back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people like are throwing, but I don't think you could throw out Tariq Cohen. I think Tariq Cohen is integral to that. But
no, they're the prototypical like dual backfield. They're both 1A, 1B. Very productive.
Speaking of rookies, the other rookie name, Kev, is Josh Jacobs of Oakland. Not a great offense, but does that matter?
Not really. I mean, I think he'll get the workload that matters. The only dudes behind him are Doug Martin, DeAndre Washington, and anti-vaxxer Jalen Richard. So I think he'll be okay. I call me crazy, but I'm a little concerned that we didn't see any of him on episode 1 of Hard Knocks. Maybe we'll see him episode 2, but that was a little weird for a first round pick. Running back is like a glamour position too.
Yeah, we saw a lot of Abrams, didn't we? Is that
Dude, that guy's so annoying.
Yeah, he is.
On the can.
Oh, is he?
He was on the can the entire time. So, that's the only explanation.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, did you see how they unceremoniously got rid of, what was that guy's name? Ronald Ollie or something. He was like, he came from Last Chance. Last Chance U.
That was sad. I like Ronald.
It was kind of sad. I didn't want him to go, but you know, as soon as you saw Gruden go to, you know, we got to get rid of some of these guys. You knew that, oh, there goes Ollie. So
I think they did him dirty, man. I think they were really negative. I can't believe he was that bad. Like, they were ultra negative.
I know. It was really terrible. It's like, you know, you don't humiliate the guy. But, I mean, they did. And they made him, you know, like he was rolling on the ground there, you know, because I think there was a
like
clip.
They showed that clip from Last Chance.
From Last Chance.
A lot of good things.
Yeah. So they show that humiliating clip from that Netflix show. So, I don't know. Anyway, moving right along. Are you, I mentioned Regis before and we touched on this guy earlier, Jono. It's Kevin's turn. Are you reaching for Austin Eckler?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, with the Melvin Gordon news, I think it makes sense to reach for Austin Eckler. My whole thinking about it is, you know, even if you reach for Austin Eckler, especially in season long, it's not really going to kill you because at the end of the day, he's still going to be the satellite back in that offense. Still going to have a little bit of a role. So I'm definitely reaching probably around early on.
I think you're reaching for the wrong guy. The guy is Justin Jackson. Surprise, aren't you? It's true. He's the guy. You wouldn't be shocked. I know you wouldn't be shocked, but it's true. Justin Jackson's the guy, not Eckler.
You want to make a bet on it?
No, I don't want to make a bet on it because Melvin Gordon might come back.
Well, I mean, yeah, you just scratch a bet and Melvin Gordon doesn't come
back. Well, you know, we can make a friendly bet, but
I think a friendly bet. I'm not going to take your money. during the fantasy season.
You got me there. I wouldn't bet the farm on it, but I'm with Justin Jackson. He's the guy. Johnny, you want to descend into the debate?
I mean, I don't think either of them is good enough to be a number one. They'll probably split it right down the middle, honestly. Last year, when Gordon went down, they each had good games and terrible games. So I'm calling this one a push for both of you.
Mm, okay.
Look at me moderating.
That's good. Yeah.
Hey, I'll take Eckler. I like the passing floor. I'll take Eckler.
Yeah, he's got the PPR. He's got the PPR numbers, I guess, in fantasy. But, here's a guy. Now, this is a guy that I'm. Now, you haven't heard any of my opinions. I guess it's about time I descended in with some kind of opinion. I am not really sold on Kerryon Johnson. I don't like him at RB. I've got him ranked at RB14, but I really can't put him any lower because there's other guys that are sort of, but I've got Devonta Freeman ahead of him. I'm not buying Kerryon Johnson. I cannot target this player. Unless I have to. If he falls to me, fine, I'll take him. I can't get excited about him and the Detroit offense in the way that it's structured at the moment. I know that a lot of people are, and this is kind of my question, is that just because Theo Reddick is off the team, everybody's sort of thinking, oh, great. Oh, that means Kerryon Johnson gets everything. I'm not so sure. Jono, Kerryon Johnson.
I mean, Kerryon Johnson, I think he's a good player. He showed that last year that he can perform well, but there's something about Lions running backs that I refuse to trust. And the fact that they're being run by Matt Patricia, who learned how to ruin running back production through committees from the best of them, and Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Something I don't want to trust. I mean, he's a good player, but I think the hype is getting a little too much, and people are predicting a breakout that really, that's still going to be a pass-first offense.
I don't think it will be. I strongly disagree on that. I think if you look at what they've done the last two seasons, bringing in Ricky Wagner, drafting, what's his name, Ragno, bringing in Taylor Decker, drafting TJ Hawkinson, I don't think they drafted him to be a pass-catching tight end. They signed Jesse James. They brought in Darren Revelle from the Seahawks. I think they want to run the ball a lot. So I think
their defense is good enough to do that, though? The defense good enough to keep them in games to be able to run as often as they would theoretically like to do?
I mean, if you look at Matthew Stafford's stats towards the end of last season, he literally was not throwing the ball. He was anywhere close to his usual volume. I just don't think that they're that kind of offense anymore. I don't think Matt Stafford's that kind of guy. He had like less than 4,000 yards for the first time in forever. I think they want to be that kind of team defensively. Who knows? I mean, you never really know. I don't think their defense is that bad, to be honest. I think their defense is like middle of the road at best. They've got some run stoppers.
It's okay, but
Rush could use some help. But
It's okay, Kev. But the elephant in the room is CJ Anderson here. He's a real problem.
Is that a pun? Because he's fat? Rude.
Yeah, I'll figure of speech. But you know,
okay. But doesn't the addition of CJ Anderson just kind of signal to you that they want to be run heavy? Like, I don't think he's going to.
It does. Yes. Yes, it does. It does. It does. But it also. But CJ Anderson has a real knack. Well, he wasn't able to do it against CMC because he's too good. CMC's just far too. It's far better. CJ Anderson, bruiser back, and I can see him, a lot of vulturing and a lot of, a lot of stealing away at series of downs, you know, like, he's a little bit more than just, Yeah, I know, but I mean, who's that other, the big, huge back that used to play on the, used to play on Pittsburgh, and then he went to somewhere else. The big guy, the big, massive running back, what was his name?
Jerome Bettis?
No, not Jerome Bettis. No. The other, newer. I think he's out of football at the moment. He's a free agent. Starts with B. What was his name? Last name B.
Bettis.
No, not Bettis. The other guy.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Well, yeah, I know.
CJ Anderson signed a one-year, $1.5 million contract with the Lions, which is basically minimum.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they're not going to use him. I mean, this guy I'm trying to think of.
Not a priority.
No, but he – well, who did the Lions have in the backfield last year? They had
– Kerryon Johnson, Theo Riddick, Zach Zenner, I think.
Yeah, Zach Zenner.
They had another guy there that – I hate
him. Oh, yeah, that guy.
They had Blunt last year. Yeah, they had Blunt.
They had Blunt, yeah. Had
Blunt, that's the guy I was trying to think of. LeGarrette Blunt.
Your go-to team for LeGarrette Blunt is the Steelers?
I was going to say, yeah. He played like one season there.
Well, I know he played one season there.
He played like four games and walked off the team.
Yeah, I know. I remembered. It's just the name sort of like, when I saw the name, it's sort of like, yeah, LeGarrette Blunt, that was the guy. And that's where CJ Anderson is like that, you know, sort of like the guy who comes in and steals everything when you don't draft him. I mean, I've got CJ Anderson at RB 57 and
you think he's going to be a threat to Kerryon Johnson? You have him. RB
I don't 57? Think I'm, no, that's no, but he's a threat in this sense that he's a vulture. And I don't like vultures.
A vulture that's RB 57.
A vulture.
I think you're looking for.
There's a lot of vultures.
Thorn in Kerryon Johnson's side.
He's a thorn. Yeah, that's what. That's exactly right. He's a thorn. Thank you, John. For finding something. I mean, there's other. Oh, I didn't mention this other guy too. And listen up, you listeners who are listening to is Bruce Anderson of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is a guy to keep an eye on, and I'll tell you why. Is because he was handpicked by, along with Andre Ellington, by Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians wanted him on the team. So if Bruce Arians wants a guy on the team, he's gonna bring him in and he's gonna give him, full run. So where nobody's, well, I don't know, to be honest, I'm not too sold on Jones or Barber. So when it comes to, if Bruce Arians is bringing in Andre Ellington, I mean, Andre Ellington, he didn't have a hope anywhere, but Arians likes him and he brings him in, and he also brought in this guy. So remember that name when you're watching preseason to have a look at see how Bruce Anderson does. So don't rule him out. He could win the job if Jones and Barber. I mean, I'm not really. I don't know. Are you sold on any of those guys, Kev? Jones and Barber. Are you sold like?
No, not really. I mean, yeah, like Bruce Anderson was, again, someone I was looking for, Scott Fishbowl, someone I was looking super deep. Barber is of value to me right now because I don't believe in Ronald Jones. I think there's no reason to think that he really improved since last year, besides that he was a second round pick. So yeah, I mean, I could see it. I can certainly see it.
Yeah, I think Bruce Anderson is a guy that you got to keep an eye on. And yeah, it's just so many guys. But they're so deep. They're the kind of guys you kind of have to pick up off waivers for. Pardon me, anyone else? Those are the kind of Bruce Anderson is the kind of guy that comes up and then everybody's racing to the waiver wire. That's probably what's going to happen. But so before we close out the show, any last final thoughts, Jono? Final thoughts?
Don't draft before the preseason's over if you can help it. Otherwise, it's your own fault if somebody gets hurt.
True.
That's always a lesson. It's like, oh no, he got hurt. It's like, why did you draft 3 months before the season? Like, I get their scheduling conflicts, but. That's nobody's fault but your own.
Yeah. Kev, I want to put in a final thought for you. What should we talk about next week so that we're not all over the place like we are today? Although it's not bad. It's still a good show. Always a good show. And I just want to get your thoughts. Like, what should we talk about next week besides beer? Mm-hmm. Joe talks about beer.
Probably, yeah. I mean, we could probably go through, let's see, Lamar Jackson Hall of Fame chances, Justice Hill Rookie of the Year chances.
Let me write this down.
Breaking all of Gronk's records.
I will fight you.
About which one?
Yeah.
The Mark Andrews one? That one's the most realistic, though.
Breaking all of Gronk's records? No chance.
The arch rival of Baltimore is the Steelers, Kevin, not the Patriots.
Yeah, he can go break all of, like, Vance McDonald's records. He's more than welcome.
Yo, Vance McDonald's going to set records here. Vance McDonald's going to ball out. Nah, it's not even a joke. That guy's great.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's good. He's good.
So your final thought, Kev, is Vance Johnson?
You would kill to have any of the Ravens' top three tight ends.
Max Williams?
No. Come on, that's tight end four. We've got Nick Boyle, who we paid $18 million to.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so that'll wrap it up for the Fantasy Edge. I want to thank Kevin and Jono. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week, and we'll talk. We'll find a little more solid topic where we're not all over the place, so we have consistency. I mean, it's still okay. It's always a good show. But be sure to check out fantasysixpack.net to read all the preseason articles and check out our rankings, which we update meticulously on the on the website, and check out the other podcast as well, which is the Fantasy Six Pack Hour with Joe Bond and AJ. They are going to be podcasting on Thursdays. This year we'll be podcasting on Monday after Monday night game. So they've taken over our spot, which I don't know. Did you guys like the Thursday night spot, or would you know, are you thinking of a Monday night spot?
Kids. They've got kids, so I don't really care.
Yeah, like, they have.
Who am I to be like, hey, hold on. I have responsibility.
Yeah, true. Well, I got kids. Well, kid.
Yeah, I mean, you're much more flexible.
I know. I got more flexible. Because of time. Because of sleep.
Yeah,
the other thing, too, is since we'll be podcasting on Monday during the regular season, we'll be able to talk about. And, Jono, you'll be the waivers guy, so you'll be able to give us the inside dope on who's the good waiver pick and spec ads for waiver day.
Oh, that I can.
That's interesting. Because I'm doing the drops, so I will be the negative man.
Yes.
Who sucks.
And I am...
That's different from normal, how?
That's I can't really. That's pretty fair.
And I've got the rest of the season where I get all the nasty comments from people who come to the site. Hey, how come you got this guy too high? He's too high. Yeah, it's just totally all over, you know. Yeah, who cares? But rest of season rankings is my duty. And plus, weekend preview. I might do it a little bit more condensed this season. Figure something out. Anyways, that's our podcast. Join us next week on the Fantasy Edge. Take care, everybody. And happy drafting if you're drafting early. Take care. Bye-bye. That's the show. Da-do-do-do. Good.